proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our discussion with Dr. R. Scott Clark on the book of Romans. We've been working through this wonderful book. Today we are in chapter 5, which gives such a wonderful declaration that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is not a peace that is ever taken for those who have been declared righteous and justified by faith, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. This is the glorious news of the gospel. We're going to be looking at this today from Romans chapter 5. We are so grateful you've taken time out of your day to tune into the program. You can visit us on the web at aegradio.org, aegradio.org. So many resources there for you, and we are grateful for all of your prayerful and your financial support. Here is now, we're jumping right into the conversation, Romans chapter 5. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
The basis for your standing before God is not what's happening inside of you. The basis of your standing before God is what Christ accomplished for you. And so as Dr. Luther used to say, the gospel is outside of us. It's an announcement of what's been accomplished for us and credited to us.
But shouldn't the gospel be accomplishing more?
Is accomplishing more.
I know, but I'm asking, shouldn't it be accomplishing, shouldn't I be expecting it to accomplish more holiness in me now? I mean, this is really, I think, the heart of what people are struggling with, because...
asking about Romans 7.
I know. I won't jump too far ahead here, but but I'm pressing you on the great... I don't just want this to be what some people call intellectual acquiescence of some truth, right? we're just hearing the doctrine of justification. I believe that. But then what does it mean for my real struggle with sin? And I think that's why, as he's shown us Abraham, he says, listen, this is for you too. Where I'm leading you here, and I know you can't wait to talk about this verse because we talked about this, is Romans 5:1, where he says, therefore, okay, so everything that I've said that applies to you as it applies to Father Abraham, that he was justified by faith, that he had the righteousness of Jesus counted to him, and you do too by faith. What does that mean for us right now? Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't say, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God if we keep the law.
That's right. There's a big chunk of Romans 7 that speaks directly to the Christian's daily struggle with sin and the consequences that has. I mean, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, speaking as a Christian, says, you know, what will become of me? I don't know. In other words, he almost despairs at some point. That's the realistic, actual experience of Christians day by day. And Paul openly and honestly and quite marvelously really acknowledges that and addresses it. But at the end of the day, at the end of chapter 7, right, how does he come out at the beginning of chapter 8? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right. So that's essentially, after he goes through that struggle, he's going to land there. It's describing the inward struggle and turmoil that we both talked about here a moment ago. Inward struggle and turmoil of the believer.
Yeah.
But we haven't really come there yet in Romans.
No.
What the beautiful thing about Romans 5 is, is he makes a declaration here. I mean, you know, one of the beauties of Reform liturgy and worship, and dear listener, we want to encourage you. You're really missing out if in your worship service after the band, the video's being played and it's entertainment time, you're really missing out on the design of why we do what we do in worship. You know what we do in worship? Scott will tell you, we stand up and we read the law of God. We have this great opportunity as God's people corporately. That means we come together as God's people because we really don't confess our sins very much during the week as we should. We get to do it corporately. We confess our sins. We struggle with guilt all week doing things we didn't want to do, right? And what do? We hear God's law. We confess our sins. And
that means you, as the pastor, Chris, you actually pray a prayer of confession.
Right.
Where you, on our behalf, acknowledge to the Lord our sins, our transgressions, and then we privately, quietly, in our hearts and minds, acknowledge to the Lord the specific things that we've done this week.
Against God's law.
Against God and against our neighbor, and we confess that to the Lord, and then afterward, what do you do?
Right. This is Romans 5:1. this is the beautiful thing that every week in worship, I am able to do as a pastor, and you are too. You're an ordained pastor in the Church of Jesus Christ. You are able to stand up and declare as an ambassador of Jesus that all who believe the gospel promises, all who look to Jesus in true faith, like Father Abraham, all who've trusted, your sins are forgiven. Now, that's not me declaring forgiveness of sins. In other words, it's not me making that so. It's Jesus who has made that so through his life, death, and resurrection. We are simply saying what Scripture says. And this is a beautiful one here in Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me phrase that so carefully. This is so beautiful. War's over.
Yeah.
In other words,
God is not trying to kill you.
The God is not your enemy anymore. God loves you because of his son. And guess what? That peace abides forever. It's not a peace that you fall out of and then fall into or back into his disfavor. You have peace because of Jesus through faith in him. Listen to what he says. You've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. On that last day, you will stand just as much as you are standing right now because you have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness for you.
And there are not stages of this, right? There are popular evangelical teachers who are telling you that you're justified now by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. But at the last day, at the judgment, you'll be saved finally through your works. And they're saying that just that way, in that language. I'm not changing their words. That is the language that they are using.
What a scary life.
So that means that you're currently okay, you're kind of out on probation, but you're still waiting for trial, right? You haven't really finished the trial because there's a future trial coming and you're going to be back under works then, and everybody, you know, they're going to play the film back of your life and we'll see how it comes out. And the idea when people say this sometimes is that, well, God the Spirit is at work in you and he's going to produce sufficient good works in you so that you'll be okay. That's not what Scripture says.
That's not what Scripture says, right?
Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, doesn't say provisionally justified in this life, but we have to finally stand before God on the basis of works, right? Or we could go to 8:1, right? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation now. There's no condemnation then. These are objective truths. So your experience is what it is. You sin, you feel guilty, as you should. You acknowledge that before the Lord. You repent. You confess it to the person whom you offended. You ask for forgiveness. That's the Christian life. You confess it to God. You ask for forgiveness. But your status with God, your standing with God, your righteousness with God, your salvation isn't wavering. Well, one day, you know, it's not like the stock market, right? That's how we often sort of picture this in our mind. You know, every day you look at the television and the news tells you the stock market's up 100 points, it's down 400 points, and they show you this chart. It's green when it's up and it's red when it's down, and we think sometimes that our standing with God is that way. But that's not true at all. Our standing with God is accomplished and fixed by Jesus, and we receive that through resting, receiving, and trusting.
You know, one of the things that the reader probably can't notice here, and I don't even have my Greek Bible in front of me, but I know this. I should have it in front of me, but this is an aorist tense.
Yeah.
This justified, it's being used. What that means is this is a completed action of the past that has this present continuing benefit for you. It is done. You are justified by faith. It has already been accomplished. You're right standing before God. This is why it's so important to look at verb tenses sometimes here, especially in the book of Romans, to see what Paul's doing.
And
right?
In context, right? The you know, and because the aorist can mean different things in different contexts. But in this context, that is Paul's intent, is to set the hearts of the Roman Christians at ease, right? Not to make them sloppy about their Christian life, right? But to empower their Christian life, to motivate them to go on in chapter 6 and to die to sin, to put to death the sins with which we struggle, and to be made alive in the image of Christ, so that this righteousness, this justification that God is promising here, that Paul is announcing to us, is supposed to lead us to progressive, gradual, gracious sanctification by the Holy Spirit being worked in us. So we're not downplaying that in any way. But in order to get to the subjective, that is the sanctification that's being worked in us, we first have to establish the objective. And believer, you need to trust this. You have to know that it's true.
So this once for all act of Jesus is where he's rooting this truth. In other words, that leads us back to 25, who verse 25 of chapter 4, where it says, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord.
From the dead.
Right. Who was delivered up. Notice that.
Yeah.
This is how he's looking. Completed actions of the past. Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's the basis of your justification right there.
How do we know that Jesus was really righteous? Because they put him in a tomb. He was really dead. But when they went back on Sunday morning, he wasn't there. He was raised. How do we know that he was righteous? Because he was raised. Had he not been righteous, he would not have been raised. So that is the objective evidence of his righteousness. And because he was raised for us, right, and we are united to him by grace alone, through faith alone, we are as certainly righteous as Jesus was raised. Jesus was vindicated. His righteousness was vindicated. He really was righteous. Everything that they said about him was wrong. It was a lie. It was false. All those scurrilous allegations they made against him, they were all false. We know they were false because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. And the angel said, who are you looking for? He's not here. He's been raised. And we have been, by grace alone, through faith alone, united to Christ, and we've been raised with him. We are justified. He was raised to declare that we are righteous. And so every time you think about your sin and you think, well, you know, I really blew it this time. This is terrible. God can't love me anymore. I've got to start over, or maybe I'm done. I can never be accepted again. I want you to think about this one thing. Is the tomb empty? As an objective fact, as a matter of history, well, reasonable people with eyeballs and sense experience, right, in their rational faculties, in their right minds, they went to the tomb and they saw that it was empty. They saw the risen Christ. 500 people saw the risen Christ. Right. Are you righteous with God? Well, is the tomb empty? Was Jesus raised? Yes, the tomb is empty. Yes, he was raised. Yes, he was seen by hundreds of people. You are righteous. God does accept you. You are no longer under condemnation. You have to trust that. And your experience will go to war against that. And the evil one will lie to you and say, well, you blew it this time. Yeah, the empty tomb, that's pretty good. But your sin is bigger than the empty tomb. And that's not true.
Right, right. And you know, one of the little things that struck me here always is something we typically read right over when we have a passage like this. But listen to the application he begins to make with this great truth for how we are to understand our right standing with God. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. And this is what I love here. I mean, it's all wonderful.
In which we stand.
In which we stand. You know, I can't help but think that, you know, when John saw the multitude of the peoples who were saved in glory, that he says, after this I looked, this is Revelation 7, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne. This is a grace in which you stand before God now. You have a right standing now. You're able to stand. You have that proper right relationship with him because of Christ. There's no more enmity. There's no more disfavor. There's no more enmity. There's no more war. You are standing now and forever. That's the beautiful truth that he's saying here. And you have access. This is one of the beautiful things that we enjoy about worship now, is that when the author of Hebrews says you should come to worship, do you know why? Because you're coming boldly to the throne of grace. You know why he says you can come boldly, dear listener? Because of Jesus.
He's at the right hand. He's making your prayers known. He's interceding for you. And all of this leads to something in your daily practical life, Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And notice how Paul orders these things. This is really important, because in Romanism, right, in Roman Catholicism, and in medieval theology, they said God justifies us, or God accepts us as justified, because the love of God, the charity, as the old translation said, has been poured into our hearts, and we're being sanctified, and to the degree we are sanctified, we are accepted. That's exactly backwards. Paul says, because we have been justified, the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. Charity is poured into our hearts, and we're being sanctified. And God is producing in us, through our sufferings, right, endurance and character and hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame, because we have been justified. So justification leads inexorably to, necessarily to, sanctification, the dying of the old man, putting to death of the old man, and the making alive of the new. And anyone who tells you that you don't need to be sanctified, or that justification doesn't lead to sanctification, well, that person is cutting off, in a sense, the left arm of Christianity. We've been justified in order that we might be sanctified. We're not sanctified to be justified. We're being sanctified because we have already been justified once for all.
I can't help but think here that Paul raises, it's interesting, he raises sufferings right after explaining the great doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone. You know, you would think he's going to raise this in Romans 8 as a great application to having no condemnation with God. But this is where I think we really see that Romans is not a systematic theology. Romans is a pastoral epistle for Christians who are really struggling with the implications of living in this crucible, living in a world of hatred, of a government that's turning against them.
That's important. About 10 years after this epistle was written, right? So this is about 55 AD.
Right.
So in 65 or thereabouts, Nero, the emperor, is going to get involved in a property scheme in the city of Rome, in the capital city of the empire. He wanted to do a redevelopment deal, and it went south, as they say, and there was a fire, and some buildings burned down, and Nero, or people in his court, blamed it on the Christians, who were a misunderstood, marginal, minority community, and they literally, they arrested Christians. And they said, you people burned this down. Why the Christians would burn that down, nobody could say. And of course, even the secular historians who record this story said this was a fabrication. There was never any truth to this. And Nero knew that it was a lie and said, blame the Christians for burning down this property, and covered them with tar. And children, if you've got children listening now, you might want to cover their ears. This is a little ugly, but this is what really happened. And give you a chance to cover the kids. Ready? 3, 2, 1. They set those Christians on fire, and those Christians died literally as martyrs, giving witness to the Christian faith for only one thing, for being Christians, for having been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and for giving testimony that they believed that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and the true God, true man, and he was raised from the tomb on the third day and is now ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father.
So I think that's, that interjection here is really important. You understand what he's doing here now. If this great truth is so, he's already working toward what he's going to say in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. But we tend to think that our situations in life, the bad things that happen to us, the sufferings that we go through, when everything turns against us, when we have a million things that can go wrong, all of a sudden the first thing that we do is think God is against us.
Yeah.
And that, and you see the pastoral work of Paul here in saying, listen, this is true. You have peace with God. You're standing before him. You rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, your future is certain, but I know that in the present, you're going to be going through things that seem to say all of that is a lie. All of that is false. There's no way that you could ever be going through those things if God is for you. And Paul is saying, no, 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 no. Listen carefully. There's a purpose in all of this. We rejoice in sufferings because even in them, it's producing things. It's producing endurance, and it's building character. And character is helping us as it builds our hope for something greater to come. A hope, and hope is not wishful thinking. A hope that is absolutely certain.
Confidence.
Confidence. Listen to this. This is the greatest. I just think this is the best verse here. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That love is not taken even in your hardships, even in your suffering. So the two things that attack the doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone that we experience in life and our common experiences is sin and suffering.
Yeah.
And these two things Paul has addressed.
And, you know, our listener in North America maybe isn't experiencing this kind of suffering, this kind of persecution. But we have listeners in Africa who are certainly experiencing this. You and I have brothers and sisters in Nigeria whose
their churches were just burned last week. I know a whole village of churches that were burned this last week, and they attacked all their churches are gone.
There is a serious problem with Fulani tribesmen who are Islamists. Obviously, not every Muslim is attacking every Christian, but there are organized groups of Islamist Fulani tribesmen and others who are attacking and burning out Christians, villages, houses, churches, and putting Christians to death so that on the continent of Africa, and particularly in Nigeria and in other places, but you and I have probably the strongest connections to to folks in Nigeria. Right? There are believers, and elsewhere we have friends in Turkey, serving the Lord in Turkey, who are facing significant opposition for the sake of Christ, not for anything else other than the sake of Christ, right? So there are believers across the globe. In China now, the underground church is being driven farther underground because the government is now oppressing them and persecuting them and trying to force them out of the underground churches into the state-approved three-self church. So there are believers all over the globe in Iran and of course we think of the Christians in Iraq that have been decimated. So all those people are believers who are suffering in the kinds of ways that the Apostle Paul is thinking here in Romans 5. And yet, what does he say to them? God has not forgotten you. God has not stopped loving you. God is using these circumstances, working through these circumstances, arranging these circumstances to accomplish his good purposes in you. He is sanctifying them through these circumstances, these sufferings, these trials that they are enduring.
So you see how pastoral and practical. We talked about the objective work of Jesus outside of us, but this also means there is a great application to this work, not just
of this work in us,
but also how now we look at all of life. This standing with God is so certain. This standing with God is such on a firm foundation because of Christ's work. It doesn't matter what we face in this life. We are absolutely in his favor, and nothing, absolutely nothing can take that from us.
And that's, of course, why the Apostle Paul was able to go outside of the city of Rome on the Appian Highway. And that's why he had such confidence, right? As they bent him over and put him on his, on his knees. And he knew what was about to happen. He was a citizen. And again, this is a place where you might want to cover the ears of the little ones if they're listening. And they took a sharpened axe. It was a professional executioner. And that executioner separated the Apostle Paul's head from the rest of his body. And he went out there knowing what was going to happen and rejoicing that he was about to go see the Lord. Yes. And he went out in confidence, knowing, not hoping. Well, the way we talk about hope. Well, I hope I've done enough. I hope I'm sanctified enough. I hope I'm... he went knowing that Jesus had accomplished his righteousness and that he was accepted with the Father for the sake of Christ by grace alone, through faith alone, and nothing could change that. And there he went. Knowing, right, to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord.
And dear listener, that same kind of assurance, that same kind of knowledge of love, which is what the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, that they would know what is the height, width, and depth of the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. That same love can be yours in him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, just as Father Abraham was counted righteous, just as Paul was, when you believe the gospel promises, you too have been justified by faith. And all of these same benefits, all these same blessings are yours just as much as they were for them. That's the wonderful truth of the Christian faith. And I think that's a good place to stop today as we'll take this up next time and continue these beautiful truths. But we hope our goal on Abounding Grace, right, Scott, is to help you If you're a non-believer, understand and know what the gospel is, how great a news it is. If you're a believer, to be strengthened in your confidence in this gospel. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all of its glory, continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.